Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer, producer of this program, and I'll be your host. The last week of June marks the end of Pride Month. For our show this hour, we're going to take a trip back to the beginning of the month. On June 1st, Wonder Comic Company was the site of an event put together by a local community of storytellers, The Trapdoor. The event was appropriately titled, The Trapdoor Comes Out. We are about to hear from the first of the storytellers from that night. Before we begin, special thanks to Ben Larson, Courtney Heiser, John Cheesebrew, and Becca Bell from The Trapdoor for hosting this event and helping to facilitate our broadcast of the stories now. The first storyteller will be Sarah Zack. Enjoy!
So hi, I am Sarah. I grew up in a tiny town in Central Florida. I would tell you where it is, but I promise you will not know. And so growing up queer in the South was a very difficult experience. It was a very different experience. A lot of people think coming out is this very linear thing, this very like, I found out I was gay, then I told my parents, and now I'm out of the closet. And I wish that my story was a little bit like that, but it definitely is not. My story goes in a couple of circles, goes up a hill a few times, and then it comes down. So like, there's that. Coming out for me was a very interesting process, because about 13 years old, I realized that I think I'm into girls. And that was terrifying, because my parents are very religious, and I was grown up in a house where being gay was like the worst possible thing you could do besides do drugs. And I did both. So there was that. And so coming to terms, I had gone to all of these church events where I was told I was supposed to feel a certain way about boys, and I definitely didn't, and was really confused on why I felt that way. Until I was 14 going on to 15, and it was summer in Palm Beach, Florida, which if you know anything, feels like Satan's whole size. So there's that, because where else would you want to spend your summer but with a bunch of church children? And if you've been raised in the Southern Baptist cult, as I like to call it, you learn that being queer has a very certain stigma to it. But then I met this girl, and I was like, ooh, she's real cute. I think I like this girl. And we were on these crunchy dorm beds because we were staying at like a college, like a Christian college, because where else would they let you stay? And I kissed her. And a little backstory on this girl, her dad was a youth pastor. Not my youth pastor, but still a youth pastor nonetheless. And I kissed her, and I was like, oh my God, this girl tastes like everything I know about love. And at 14, that was Taylor Swift songs and my parents' failing marriage. So just completely heteronormative, did not have any idea what I was doing. And then she looked at me and was like, oh my God, we can never do this ever again. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, never ever again. And I was like, guys, I'm gay. Well, what am I about to do? So what any logical 14-year-old would do, went home, dated the first boy that I found that would date me and said, yep, that's what I'm doing. Gonna date him for a while. Dated him through all of high school. Was gonna get married because he was in the military and that's what I had to do to like be with him. And completely decided that I was gonna live in the closet for the rest of my life. Because there were all of these snowball events that were gonna happen when I came out. Like my parents weren't gonna talk to me and they were gonna get kicked out of their church. And my sisters, who had spent their entire high school and middle school in this youth group, were no longer gonna be accepted. So I was like, oh, it. I'm just gonna live in this closet. It's real nice in here. Got some real cute clothes, gonna do it. And I did, till I was 18. And then I went to college. College was a great experience because I had this fun phrase, because I was a party girl and I was like, I date boys, but I fuck with girls. You can sleep in my bed, but you have to be gone before my roommates wake up because nobody can know that I'm gay, because I'm not. I just like to have sex with girls sometimes when I'm drunk, all the time when I'm not drunk, whatever. It's fine, it's fine, it's fine, this is fine. And so that was college for me until I met my first girlfriend. And I met her and she was amazing. And I really fell in love with this girl. And this was everything that I had decided I wanted in a relationship with a girl. She was perfect. She was not perfect by any means, do not let me lie to you. We had a lot of issues. We were 19, 20, broke-ish in college. And when I first started dating her, I would tell all my friends, I was like, I'm not gay. I just am dating a girl right now. Just experimenting. I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, whatever. But I had decided that me, because never dated a girl before, didn't really know how to handle my sexuality, decided I was going to marry her. Bad choice at 19, period, for anyone. And I decided I was going to marry this girl. And so I decided that meant I had to come out to my mom. Because I didn't care about my dad. My dad's not really in my life. So, like, whatever. Didn't really matter. Had to come out to my mom. And that was terrifying. So came home from college one weekend and was like, hey, mom, so I think I might kind of be into girls a little bit. And she was like, yeah, it's a phase. You'll get over it. Everyone goes through it. And I was like, oh, cool. So everyone's a lesbian. Awesome. Okay. Cool beans. And then about 2 months later, I was like, yeah, I'm going to try again. So I was like, hey, no, mom, so I think I'm only into girls. And she was like, yeah, don't worry. You'll find a great man one day. And I was like, yeah, don't think so. But like, okay, whatever you say, mom. And then about 6 months after that, I was like, no, so like, I'm really gay and this is my girlfriend. I had already been out to all of my friends. I was out to my sisters. Actually, my little sister, when I told her, I was like, hey, so I date girls. And she was like, oh, that's cool. You want to hear this song on YouTube? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. And so looked at my mom and I was like, hey, this is my girlfriend. And then decided to have a coming out party with all of my friends because I decided that I have finally embraced who I am as a human being and this is what I deserve to do. And I actually had my coming out party, the most logical place I could have it, which was Pulse. And so I did lose friends that night. And it was the last good memory of Pulse that I have, was my coming out party. But from there, I wish I could say that the good times continued, but that snowball effect that I talked about started to happen. My parents got kicked out of church. My mom was no longer allowed to teach Sunday school because if you raised a gay kid, there was absolutely no way you were going to teach other people's children. My sisters got kicked out of their youth group. My dad's only comment was, where did we go wrong with her? To my younger sister who was sitting across the table who was also queer. And so that was another issue and another hurdle we had to jump over. My little sister was terrified of coming out of the closet. So I knew at about 13 that I had made that decision that I was going to have to be the one to take the hard coming out. I was going to have to deal with my mom not talking to me for almost a year. That was going to be how my life had to go. What I found is that when you are in the LGBTQA community, you get this wonderful sense of family. Sometimes you have to pick it and put it together, but you have it. It is a real thing. And in about, well, it was actually 420. I was on Tumblr, and I met this girl. And damn, was she fine. And I was so into her, but I was so scared. So I was like, I know you're a stoner, so happy 420. Here we go. Yeah. And I started talking to her. And she made me realize that being gay was not just a whole part of my identity. It was a very large part of my identity. It was something I am very proud of because I've spent so long in the closet. But I met her and started talking to her and fell very, very deeply in love with her. And then in about January, she was like, hey, you should come visit Fort Wayne. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. But in my brain, I was like, Indiana, red state, Mike Pence was your governor. That sounds terrifying, actually. That sounds really, really scary. But like, okay. So I showed up in January. The first day I was here, it was negative 11. And she was like, I want you to move here. And I was like, are you psycho? I cannot do this. I'm not made for the cold. I was born and raised in Florida. I don't, thick blood, what's that? I don't have that. But I met her and I came to visit and I realized that Fort Wayne has this amazing community that we have all got to celebrate and we all get to live in. And it's this beautiful, like, it's this beautiful rainbow that we all get to be a part of. And so I came home from that trip and I looked at my mom and I said, hey, so I met the girl that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. So I moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana. She was like, you know, there's winter there, right? I was like, yeah, believe me, I just experienced it. It was terrible, but I'm going to go do it anyway. And I learned a lot about being gay in the last year. I have never felt 100% confident in being gay until this year when my mom, even though she hates the fact that I'm gay, she will tell every single person that she hates it. But she told me that she knew I loved my girlfriend. And that was the moment where I was like, yep, 100%, I am super big old lesbian. It's my life. And that Christmas, my sister actually came out as queer. And so that has been an adventure in her figuring out her identity and her aspect of life and how that is going to be for her. And it's really cool because I get to support her. I get to be this big, like, hey, I did it. And it sucked for a little while. But you know what? It's amazing. And you have a chance at a future and a happy ending, because I know a lot of you, and especially when I was in high school, I was like, yeah, gay people never get old. They just, like, die before they turn 30. That's what happens. Because I have never seen an old lesbian couple or an old gay couple ever. So, like, they must just die. Like, everyone just dies off. That's what happens. But what I've learned since coming out is that you have that chance. You have that opportunity to have your happy ending. And it will come eventually in whatever way that looks like, whether it is a gender change or a coming out party or whatever it needs to be for you. You have that chance at a happy ending, and it will happen. And you have a family, always. You never have to worry about losing your family, because it sucks and it hurts. But there's another family that is waiting to take you on and will always love you no matter what. So that's what it was like to come out in the South. It was an interesting story. It was a little round. It was not exactly linear. And I'm sure a lot of your coming out stories are not perfectly linear. That is absolutely okay. I want to congratulate you on Pride Month, and I want to celebrate with you. So thank you very much.
Trapdoor Comes Out will continue on WBOI Presents after a short break. Stay tuned.